Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 18th. Did everybody survive yesterday's hailstorms?
We had a lot of water, but yes, good morning.
Yes. Joining us this morning is our, well, if you don't recognize her voice by now.
Has it been that long, Brian?
Our Kita City Manager, Karen Deemer. Well, you've been there and back. Literally.
True. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy your winter in the Midwest?
Yeah, we had a great trip. Yeah, we saw Shakespeare in Chicago on Navy Pier in December.
Must have been bundled.
Nothing, yeah, not a lot of skin exposed at that point. Yeah. Gloves, hat, face shield.
And aren't you glad you're not there today?
I am very glad to not be there today. Yes. I have a lot of family still in the Midwest, and they don't want to hear me complain about the little bit of hail and thunder and lightning that we got here on the North Coast.
Oh, you tried to pull that one already, huh?
Yeah, it does not work.
Didn't go anywhere, yeah.
But it was some wild storms and rain for us here. So locally, yeah, we can still talk about that.
That works. Our why do they say that?
Uh-oh.
Is click.
Click.
Why do we say a successful endeavor clicks?
Well, we think of it as being defined as coming together, but I would think of it as being progress, a click meaning of a length or a distance of success or progress. It's a wild guess. I would have preferred to phone a friend.
You got in the neighborhood on this one. Why do we say a successful endeavor clicks? Because it runs smoothly from the start. When the gears of a machine mesh immediately, they go together with a single click instead of grinding and grating.
I prefer to hear no grinding, grating, or clicking from my car. Yeah.
No, well, other than seatbelts.
True.
Doors.
Turning the key.
Yeah. There are some moments there where a click's not a bad thing. Oh, boy. So we've got, Winston, we still have got the local flood advisory or water advisories for the creeks and the streams and that kind of stuff. Yeah. In the forecast for today. A little bit of lead time, obviously, mm-hmm. as we have the water out in the headlands coming downstream. Does that give you guys an opportunity to do last-minute runarounds, checking on things, making sure that there's not things that will clog stuff up, or do you just kind of sit back and, you know, okay, we take care of another day as another day presents itself and not worry about something along those lines? Yeah.
No, it's always nice to have a little bit of advance notice of the type of volume of water that we're getting. I think this week in particular, if anyone's been driving, say, the corridor or anything around the bay, you'll also see we've got extreme high tides. We actually have king tides this weekend. We might talk about that later in the show. But to have some advance notice of being able for the city to be able to flow water out of our wastewater treatment pond so we've got enough space to contain and hold water before we can meter it out to make sure everything is fully treated.
Is that independent of what we see in the cow fields?
There's
the water up, the big puddling and stuff. So when you're saying getting it through the system, is it going into the bay or is there wherever it's going capacity for more water?
Yeah, no, when I say metering out from our marsh and wildlife system, that really is just our wastewater. So that's what comes through the pipes into our treatment system. And then, as you know, we have a marsh and pond system. But part of that, the treatment, is really just the time that that water sits in the ponds. So we will, before a large storm, start to meter out water that we might typically hold for another week just because we don't need to move it, but is fully treated, and we'll move that out to make room so that we can then basically control all the water that's coming in.
So it's kind of like at the lakes during the wintertime, and we expect, you know, snow melt and stuff. They lower the level because of the capacity that they need so that it doesn't cause problems down the road.
Yeah. Now, what you see in the cow fields and stuff, that all really moves on its own out through creeks and out to the bay. But the real, I think this week, the big magnifying piece for us has been the king tides and making sure that we've got all of our storm drains cleared and things washed out before those king tides start pushing the other way and if you've got the storm at the same time.
King tides are predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Scheduled, so that's kind of just calendarized, if you will.
Yeah, and when we talk about king tides, we talk about the real high, high tides of the year. So this weekend on both Sunday and Monday are kind of the largest king tide events that we will see for 2019. So last year and this year, yeah, Monday's supposed to be clear.
Yeah, it won't be a compounding factor there with the water. Yeah.
So for all of those residents out in the Humboldt Bay area that fancy themselves as scientists or have an interest in science, we invite everybody actually to come out, even if it's raining, for those king tide events, because we're starting to capture. The city has 15 points along the bay that we started this last year. So this is the second year that we're asking all of our resident scientists to come out and help us capture those king tide events. So there's two ways you can participate. You jump on cityofarcata.org, and you can pick one of our 15 sites. The king tide, the high tide on Sunday is at roughly 11 o'clock, 11:09. The high tide on Monday is at 11:59. And if you choose, you can either swing into City Hall or our Marsh Interpretive Center and get a stake. It's kind of tufted that you're willing to basically stake into the ground at one of those places. We will come back then and GPS all of those locations of how high did that king tide, that high tide reach into the Arcata, into the marsh, or along the bay, along the trail, to see if we're to see what are the effects of these king tides on the ground as it sits today around Humboldt Bay.
You're saying there's only 15 locations?
Well, that we have identified right around the Arcata Bay area.
Wouldn't that take like about an hour for somebody to go out and go bang, 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 and them in the ground? Or is it a little bit more complicated than that?
It's not much more complicated than that, but what it really is trying to have 15 people simultaneously at least that are willing to put that stake in the ground right at that high tide.
Oh, it's a timed
moment.
Event.
Yeah.
Not
at 11:09.
Put it down there and let's see how high up on the stick it goes.
Right. No, at that event, this is how far it's come up the land, and here's where it sits. And then to photo document. So we can have five people at each site photo documenting what that high tide, king tide looks like.
It's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the concept of the pre-planning portions, you know, you can pre-plan to a certain level on probably everything, anything.
Yep.
The question is acceptable risk, because there's always the dollar sign associated with whatever that thing is, the project or the acquisition or the lack of either. So with water, how do you determine what must be, what you'd like to be, and what's acceptable?
Yeah. I think with water, for storm situations where we just need to move water through the city, you know, we will put in as much infrastructure as we can to allow that water to move. You know, long term, you know, people talk about climate change and sea level rise. We will be living with higher levels of water. So the long-term strategy for the city answers just that very question. What do you learn to live with? What parts of the city that are right along the bay do we as a community want to protect from sea level rise? And ultimately, what is our strategy to retreat? You know, we were just looking at that picture from the seascape last night of the storm surge coming in and coming all the way up, hitting that building. Those are going to become more frequent and more common occurrence events as that water level rises. No, like Florida, you know, a lot of countries.
We get all the Floridians to come out here.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'll be all the way from Florida, but I do really believe that they have this term of kind of talking about climate refugees. You know, I mean, I believe our area is going to become very attractive to people that are starting to flee these intolerable areas of change, like the fires that we've seen.
So that was, what was that phrase again? Weather refugees?
Climate, yeah.
Climate. I mean, along with the resident scientists, I'm learning so much this morning.
Must be a new year. Yeah. But for Arcata, we're making those decisions right now of, you know, what is that plan at not so much at what date and time, but at what level of water do we say, all right, we can protect this area until the water reaches this level. And then we really will have about 20, 50 years to be able to planning retreat from this section. So that right now we don't start building critical facilities. We don't want to put a new hospital, say, in an area that we think really is going to be surrounded in water in 100 years even, right? So start to look at the land use code. We're very fortunate in Humboldt County because we really don't have a lot of heavy development around our bay, as you see in a lot of other port areas and, you know, higher end.
Much to the chagrin of many of us.
It's true. Yeah. But now as we look forward, that's going to make things a lot easier.
What about things, and I know it's not a capacity issue, it's more of something else, but like the North Bay, all the mudflats mm-hmm. used to be accessible that aren't yeah. anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Does that come into the discussion at all, or are those types of things just kind of seen as non-issues for even consideration or discussion?
I think the issue is the condition that they are today. So if we still had deep port regions all the way up to Arcata, obviously the bay would have more capacity with which to work. Because sedimentation has happened at such a rapid pace with, you know, for various reasons of sediment, predominantly the logging industry and what that placed onto our creeks.
And lack of digging it out.
And then lack of digging it out. Yeah. Yep. You know, the bottom of the bay has risen to that point, right? So that's less volume which flushes in and out each day and less volume which we have to be able to work with. But
would it be beneficial? I mean, certainly we have the ocean. It's not going to change too terribly much by what anything we do. If it was dug out, let's say scoop it out to 50 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that probably will never happen, but let's say we scoop
it. Let's just pretend.
Scoop
yeah.
it out to 50 feet. Does that do any buffering, or is that just okay that it's 50 feet deep now instead of 5 inches?
Yeah, I don't know how that volume, you know, affects sort of that upper end of the North Bay. I mean, from a standpoint of being able to move things up and down the bay, it certainly would help. From an area right along where the creeks enter, you know, I think there is some value to moving that out.
So it might drain some of the sloughs a little mm-hmm. bit easier, the creeks.
I mean, the idea is, can we continue to move that sediment then out at a certain level?
Now, historically, there was an attempt to get the Mad River. There was a good chunk of the Mad River that mm-hmm. fed into Humboldt Bay.
Yeah.
If the river starts to migrate again.
We see it every year.
In that
year.
Direction. I mean, it's always moving. But
right.
if something happens and now it's mm-hmm. it's really changed course mm-hmm. direction, what does that do to some of these plans? Is there going to be an attempt to keep it in its channel and all the costs and concerns associated with that? Or does the river get to be able to continue to do whatever the river would naturally do?
Right. Does Mother Nature just really take that last up at bat, like the bumper sticker says?
Yeah.
Potentially. I haven't heard any discussion about recently in the last, you know, 10 years even about location of the Mad River having another huge input into Humboldt Bay in the Mad River. When we look at where the pinch points are as you move like through the city of Eureka, you know, and then through the jetties, I mean, that type of volume is certainly going to have an impact on those areas. So.
So, but that isn't something that's being discussed or anticipated in any of this planning that's
yeah,
going on.
No. I mean, there are certainly scientists that constantly track the movement of the Mad River. But so, the you know, right now it really appears to be moving north. If you're out along Clam Beach on a regular basis, you see that northern migration.
The bluffs were reinforced, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can reinforce dirt.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was, or sand, I guess, probably more accurately. But,
yeah, right but, in that, where it hits right into the bay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we haven't heard about that lately, have we?
Mm-mm.
That would be geologic time, the last, what, 10 years.
But if you go out, it's moving north. You
it's
can see
it. It's
still
there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's also 8:30.
we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redec, Murphy's Markets, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Karen, with some of the planning that is going on, even if it's at the initial stages, Okay, is there a desire across the board to get these plans in play? By that, I mean the state regulatory agencies, the funding sources, budget priorities, even if it's just setting aside contingencies, you know, of 10% instead of 2%, and really making it in buy a long-term CD kind of thing. So it's really off the table. Those types of steps that are, let's call them uncomfortable, because I think they would be, but really set up the city then for 10 or 15 years from now, you have a couple of bucks on the side. You can start doing these things if those early indicators are showing that it is happening and that there is the timeline that needs to be kicked in.
Yeah. I think it would be an overstatement to say there's a cross-board uniform efforts being made. But what I will say is from, I think, at least all of the state agencies and at least the coastal local cities, the uniformity that I'm seeing is that everybody is at some stage in a planning process, and the state regulatory folks are starting to require some of that planning. So our new discharge for our wastewater treatment permit into Humboldt Bay that we just received the draft of this week is going to require us to have a climate change plan. You know, are we secured within our wastewater treatment plant? Now, for us, the body of work will be easy because the city started that work around our wastewater treatment plan about 5 years ago. So we've got a really good sense of what we need to do because we're making a significant investment in terms of raising the levees, in terms of what we can protect. And our reconfiguration of the treatment plant ultimately will allow, if we lose areas of the ponds that we think we will over 75 to 100 years, we will be able to continue to treat wastewater.
Are the regulators accepting some of the changes, relaxing some of those regulations to accommodate some of these plans? Is there
not
a buy-in
yet
on that?
Yeah,
or is
not
it?
Yet. Yeah, so I mean,
it's still a one-way street then.
At this point, because I think until we can really demonstrate what the need is and what sort of the ramifications of the cost-benefit analysis, right? How much is it going to cost us to protect under the current regulatory system? As uncomfortable as the conversations are now, they're going to be much easier to have than when we're in an emergency scenario. Like the classic question is, in the California coastal zone, there are very few reasons that you could fill a coastal wetland, right? That you could actually take dirt and fill in an area that is currently a wetland to be able to secure and build a levee to protect a structure, whether it's a house or a wastewater treatment plant or
a highway.
We have that in our region too.
Yes, right. Bridges.
Right.
Yeah.
So under the California Coastal Act, you couldn't just fill a wetland, and basically everything in those lowlands are coastal wetlands.
It becomes the Humboldt Aquarium.
Right. Well, there will be, you know, some getting used to living closer to water. I mean, I think that piece of it. But whether or not we will ever see, you know, some change in the regulatory status to say, okay, we recognize that, you know, for a period of time, there's going to need to be some fill in these areas to protect these critical structures.
Power plants.
As we also work on the 150-year retreat schedule, if that's what we're looking at.
So what would you recommend for the county with King Salmon and Fields Landing?
I don't think they need my recommendations. You know, the Humble Bay Harbor District started probably 5 years ago now, a pretty comprehensive effort in looking at all of the areas around Humble Bay and sea level rise. And there is a very strong sea level rise working group. I mean, the state really looks to the Humble Bay area as the model to start to say, how do you work together as a community? It doesn't mean we have all the answers yet, but we have a really good body of data about, you know, our tides, and we continue to gather data, as we talked about earlier, that we're, I think, starting to get a good sense of what we need to plan for in certain time increments, and then, you know, what's the elevation of that water going to be, and have those conversations with that data to say it doesn't matter if it's uncomfortable, because Mother Nature is going to be super comfortable at that level of water. So we need to get comfortable.
Not to be a naysayer, but looking at the highways.
Mm-hmm.
Eureka's, what, three times we've had it on the ballot since the mid-70s about a bypass?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's shot down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we just put everything up on a bridge, which is, I know, very cheap, particularly in an earthquake zone with active faults all over the place? I know that that probably would be the easiest way. I mean, you look around Old Arcata Road, no chance at this point, no chance. You've got the current highway mounding it up higher, as you'd indicated. You know, we got that overpass or underpass, depending on whether you're on top or on the bottom, that they're looking at. You know, if this inundation area is such, I would think that there would be some activity going in that direction just because of all the environmental requirements that are in play, and the feds aren't going to relax anything. It's, you know, in the state, who knows?
Well, it's cost-benefit analysis. I mean, you know, we look at, we've talked about last chance grade before. Right now, it's at that critical point where you're looking at how much do you put in for what alternative.
And that's rocketing along really quickly, too.
But it
as the calendar marches
inching
on,
forward,
yeah,
right. It is inching forward, and that all comes down to the cost benefit analysis. Right now, they've been able to not completely, but keep the road open. At the point that that becomes less and less, and the economic impact becomes greater and greater, then those other alternatives that have the much higher ticket price become more attractive for the communities to fund. And not to say that we need to get to an emergency point for anything to happen. But I think you do need to look at, for a long period of time, I believe they'll be able to buffer Highway 101 with some level of investment that, again, is going to be at such a magnitude lower than building a complete bypass that that's going to be an attractive alternative for a period of time.
Probably so. The only concern I have is that the economic impact. It's the local business community.
Absolutely.
It's not to the government.
No, absolutely.
So the motivation for them to move at a quicker pace is going to be the number of complaint calls they get.
It has to come from the people.
And it's like, wait a minute, that's after the horse is out of the barn.
Right.
Rather than doing things in advance, which is kind of what we're talking about with the stuff around the bay is planning.
Right.
KINS News and that's as close as I'm ever going to get to singing on air,
okay.
Ever.
You heard it this morning.
Yeah, that was, and it could have been a screeching owl. I'm not sure. There was one passing by.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 848. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, a couple updates. You've got the, has there been any development with the situation on the plaza, both of them, I guess, with the bars? Is that progressing? Has there been?
Yeah, we've talked. That's the theme of the day. Slow incremental movement. Yeah.
Okay.
So the process with alcohol beverage control, your listeners probably remember that we went through an original determination by staff to recommend revocation of two liquor licenses on the plaza, Sidelines and Toby and Jack's. That went to an administrative law judge hearing that was here in Eureka. That administrative law judge also recommended full revocation, which was then supported by the executive director of the Alcohol Beverage Control. The property owner has appealed that decision, and it goes to what's called the Permit Board of Appeals. So that date, he could appeal as late as January 6th. I think the appeal came in just before the end of the year. So I believe that that Board of Appeals has 120 days with which to hear that hearing and render a decision. So that's the stage that we're in right now. That finalizes the state regulatory framework. Further appeals would move into the first district court of appeals here in California, the California Supreme Court, should the property owner continue to take it there.
So there's a couple steps still before ultimate decision,
final decision,
if options are pursued. Yeah. The statute.
Yeah, the statute. So probably recall that the voters at least denied. I mean, they didn't necessarily support. Well, they voted 60% to not require it to retain in the center of the plaza.
Right.
So that's
the double negative.
Right. Everybody believes that basically the vote was go ahead and relocate the statue to, you know, a different location. So but it still requires the city to go through our environmental review process. We expect that to be before the council on February 20th to finalize that process and start at least an initial discussion. If they have a preference of does it stay in Arcata, does it stay in the region, or is like contextually appropriate space the most important relocation?
Contextually appropriate. Three phrases, one show. The week is done. Thanks, Karen. See everybody tomorrow.